You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
People, put it in that box. We would appreciate that. If you don't want to give, you feel perfectly free not to. God's not poor. God's not broke. And all he does is when we give back to him what's his already, he gives us a blessing, and you can't outgive him, I guarantee you that. So anyway, we're glad you're here. We got a very special speaker, and Brother Doug, Jackson Street just got here. So you may have a little more business after. Okay. All right. Welcome, Jackson Street. One of the guys called me about 30 minutes ago and said, hey, we're not locked down anymore. They told us today, so we didn't send anybody down there. So thank y'all for letting me know. Who was it letting me know? Who was the guy? Yeah, right here. Here's a man. All right. Okay. Yeah. And so a couple of our guys just jumped in the bus, and we got them all here, and we're thankful that you're here. I'm going to cut the announcements very short, but because I want to give as much time as we can to our speaker tonight, and he's going to come right after Brother Charles brings a special song to us. Our speaker tonight is Ronnie Bearden. I'm going to let just Ronnie tell his story. It's a fascinating story. We were reminiscing over some things, and you'll be blessed tonight. I will guarantee you that. Ronnie now lives in Andrews, and is very active in his church, very active in ministry. And God saved him, and he said, Ronnie Bearden's had every chance to die. I won't tell you that. He's in this wheelchair because he stopped a bullet. But I'll let him tell all that story. Brother Charles, as soon as Brother Charles is finished, you just come right on, Ronnie. All right. God bless you, brother.
Okay. Thank you, Leland. Welcome, Jackson Street. We've been missing y'all. You missed all the fun songs tonight. And I'm not going to do another one because we don't have time. But the song we're going to do tonight is really touched my heart. First time on the Grand Ole Opry, would you believe that? I was there in person. Me and Kenny got to go last October. Kenny just had all his wisdom teeth removed today, so he didn't feel much like picking tonight. But we had the privilege of being at the Grand Ole Opry 5 times back in the second week of October last year. And if you love country music, or even if you don't, you'd love going to the Grand Ole Opry. John Connolly was on there, and he did this song. It was written by Vince Gill and another one of his friend songwriters, and it tells the story, and I believe a lot of you can relate to it. I know I can. One night he wandered in to that old mission, the one down on the poor side of town. He really wasn't interested in salvation, just a place to lay his drunk old body down. He said, ma'am, I sure am hungry, but I don't have a penny to my name. Lord knows I haven't worked in a month of Sundays. I'm dirty, dead broke, and so ashamed. I need bread and water, ma'am, that's all I need, just some bread and water, you said, you're always welcome at this table. Brother, you look like you could use a friend. And there's no need to pay if you're not able. Even Jesus was a homeless man. She opened up the Word. She started reading about the Savior and a woman at the well. She said, it's not for me to judge the way you're living. Only Jesus can save your soul from hell. You need bread and water. Man, that's all you need. Bread and water. A place to rest your feet. If you ain't too proud to get down on your knees. Water's free. When he bowed his head, he kind of choked up. But they spoke every word of our Lord's prayer. Then he closed his eyes and never woke up. But he found bread and water waiting there. Friend, it's blood and water, and that's all you need. Jesus' blood is the water. He's a place to rest your feet. If you ain't too proud to get down on your knees, the bread and water's free. The bread and water's free.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ron Bearden, and just God opened the door for me to come here tonight and share with you all my walk and experiences with Jesus Christ. And I grew up as a little kid, spent a little time in church as a kid. To me, there wasn't nothing real about it. Didn't like it. Was forced to go. Bad things happened when I was a young kid in that church. My dad was a deacon in that church, but he was very abusive physically, very, very abusive. So my starting out in my life, my conception of who God was wasn't really good, and I didn't want nothing to do with it, really. First opportunity I got, I was out. And stayed away from home. The home was a bad scene. Spent a lot of time on, you know, just on the streets. And drugs, lots of crime. I started going to prison when I was about 18. I did a little federal time, state time, all sorts of county jails. Just pretty much a meaningless life. One time I was walking down the street in a town up in Oklahoma, and I didn't care. I had no, just feed my addiction, get high, whatever. I was carrying two knives in this jacket, and I was going to jack somebody, and this guy pulled over, picked me up, and I thought to myself, man, this is a perfect opportunity to get this guy. And the guy turned and looked at me, and he goes, God told me to stop and pick you up. Scared me to death, man. I didn't want nothing to do with it. Told the guy to pull over. I got out and went about my rat killing. And so I know over time that Jesus Christ was there. He was just waiting for that perfect time. You know, they call it Kairos. You know, God's perfect time. And that's what it took for me. You know, my story is probably the same as a lot of people's, that the things that happen in our life eventually get worse and worse and worse and culminate to the point to where my own worst enemy was me and my choices. So I wound up in 1994, making some really bad choices and had a 45-year sentence. Went to county jail, spent about a year in county jail in El Paso, Texas. And I really, when I went to jail and knew that I had a hard time looking at me, I thought to myself, this is my destiny. This is where I belong. This is just laid before me. This is my life. Go with it. So had a lot of time. I quit caring. And went at it. Got involved with the gang life. You all know how. I mean, it's just a bad scene. You know, there's nothing good about it. Hurt a lot of people. Got hurt, etc. Just life as usual. And so I didn't want nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with Christians. Didn't want to hear it. Things got really bad in prison back then. In the early 90s, they had a lot of wars going on, so there was a lot of stuff happening. And I was on a ranch in 1997. I had just been involved in a riot, got sent over to this other unit, and one of the guys that I was in county with, that I knew to be a pretty solid dude, you know, I mean, somebody I'd like to have behind my back. Well, he winds up in medium custody with me, and get to talking to the guy, and he pulls out a Bible, man. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, has he got names or something that he's fixing to show me something? Or, you know, because I didn't want to be seen around no Bible at all, especially locked up. So he put it up underneath the table, and he says, you know, just let me tell you about what's happened in my life. And that guy, you know, we probably sat there about 15 or 20 minutes, and he told me his testimony. At the time, it wasn't no big deal. I was just like, whatever. And about the next month, you know, I got in a lot of trouble, got fired, went to SEG again. And I guess I kind of positioned myself in a place where I really had to listen. And some of the things that guy told me, I saw in my own life, you know. And he talked about how he was able to see how Satan had tried to steal, or had, you know, not tried, he had stealed, killed, and destroyed. And man, that was a story of my life, you know. I mean, in prison, 45-year sentence, leaving my two young boys, a wife, just like I've never got anywhere in my life. It was like I was a three-wheeler, but I was missing a wheel. So I was always just running around, hitting, never getting anywhere in my life. So it came to a point when I know the exact cell I was in. I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he came in my room. And I'm not talking about visible where I could see him. It's just I knew he was there. And he told me, he said, Ronnie, today you choose, you know, what you're going to do, where, you know, where you're going to go. Because this is it. And the thing that scared me more than anything was that Jesus was real, and my life had been in his hands. At any point in my life, he could have let me go. Even when I was not recognizing him, I mean, I didn't want nothing to do with him. He had always been there. And that scared me. You know, it really did. And not only that, but the fact that, hey, here's God, and he's real, and he's talking to you. And at that point in my life, I was fed up. You know, I was just fed up. And, you know, I really didn't think about the consequences at the time. I just, like, saw a hand coming through a cloud into my misery. And I grabbed it. You know, I took it. And surrendered. I'm not going to say that I came to the Lord or whatever. It was just like I surrendered. I just laid it all down and said, you know what? Do what you do, whatever. And at that point in my life, because of who I was involved with, there were going to be consequences for the choice I made. And there were those consequences. And he didn't deliver me out of those consequences. I had to walk through that. Yeah, I got hit. Yeah, things, you know, I don't have to elaborate on that. It gets ugly. And he didn't deliver me from that, but he did walk me through that. And, you know, I'm still alive. And after that, after coming to the Lord, you know, I've had to learn in 18 years, I've had to unlearn more misconceptions I've had in my mind about God and walk with him to learn who he really, really is. Because, ladies and gentlemen, he is a good, good father. When they sing that song, you know, I mean, he is full of love and mercy. And, you know, I spent a lifetime running away from him, you know, because when I was a little kid and I was in church and I was in that church, you know, I got sexually abused. To me, I hated the church for that. It didn't make no sense why stuff like that, why God would allow something like that to happen. Never said nothing to nobody about it for years and built these walls around myself. Kept building them, protecting myself. I became who I wasn't because I didn't like who I was. And I went the other extreme. I went into violence and into, you know, at times it was easy to do, at times it wasn't to do, but, you know, deep down inside I know that that wasn't who I really was, that Satan had me deceived into thinking that I was somebody who I wasn't. So I walked the next few years, you know, in prison with the Lord until I get out, and then I go to a halfway house. And I did my 6 months. After doing 12 and a half years, I was scared. I didn't want to go back to prison. You know, I was scared because I've always been my biggest enemy. So it was just a matter of time before, you know. But God surrounded me with some really good people, really, really good men. 18 years ago, those men are still in my life. They still hold me accountable. I hold them accountable. I mean, I have to have those men in my life. That doesn't mean that since I got out, I've made all the right choices, because I haven't. You know, I've gone and wallowed back in the mud for a while. I've gotten involved in things I shouldn't get involved in. But, you know, instead of running away from Jesus, you know, I run to him because, I mean, it's like inside. You know that isn't who you really are, who you're really meant to be, you know. But yeah, there are temptations. This is a real world out here. Like the Bible says, Satan is the god of this world. So it's a real walk. What I really wanted to come and what was on my heart tonight to come and share with you guys wasn't the, you know, all the violence and bad things and getting shot and stabbed and canned and ran over and all those things where I should be dead. But I kept looking up at that, what that says up there, where it says, mending broken hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Something I've realized since I've came to the Lord, you know, it comes down and taps you on the head and you're cool, you know. It just don't work like that, you know. I didn't know how it was going to work. But I realized over time that there are things in me that are deep, that I didn't realize were there, that needed to be healed, you know. And I don't know how God does it. I know how he did it in my life. And he brought me back to places where I didn't want to go. You know, I couldn't stand up here or sit up here and share with you guys about things that happened in my past if God hadn't healed them. And I had to allow him to heal some of that, all that stuff in my heart. I mean, you know, I would liken it, you know, you see the story of Peter in the Bible. Peter was right there with Jesus. He was running. He was down with him like two broke legs. He was there. But there was something in Peter Jesus knew was there that Peter didn't know was there. And I mean, that kind of concerns me about my own walk with the Lord. Is, Lord, what else is there that needs to come out, that needs to be healed? That was the first place he took me when I surrendered to him, was, you know, forgiving my dad, forgiving the people that had hurt me, a lot of forgiveness, forgiving myself for what I had done to my sons, and leaving them as kids, the people I had hurt. I mean, there was just a lot of healing that had to happen. And some parts of those walls that I had built up, some parts of the walls come down easy. Some the other parts of the walls, they're there. They're solid. And Jesus is going to get down to the root of the issue and pull it out, you know, and get it up out of you. Get it up out of me. Because I don't want to be who I used to be, you know. And in my own experience, you know, some of my bad choices and addictions and stuff like that are just branches of a bitter root that's in my heart. And he's came and he's healed my heart. I mean, it's been through circumstances you wouldn't imagine that he could use, but he does. And really my part is just either I cooperate with him or I just deny like I have all my life that something's there, you know? Because it ain't going to go nowhere. It ain't going to get healed. And it's just a matter of time before I start tripping again, get locked up, something, maybe even worse. After I got out, I got through, went through the 6-month program. God blessed me with a really good job. Kind of went on a fast track up with some companies, and then realized that I'd never had no success in my life. So one of my biggest enemies was success and making money, you know. And then here I go off on this trail for a while, you know, making really good money and having things that I'd never had before in my life. As a Christian, coming out of prison, the most serious thing that I came face to face with was the freedom to choose. Because that's always been where I've not done too well at all. But there were, like I said, there were men God put in my life. I went through discipleship classes, and I also went and got out there in bars. You know, I mean, it don't make no sense. You know, the stuff that we're capable of doing, even after we belong to the Lord, it is about choices. In my own case. So when things were going well, my sons were living with me. That was a whole other deal, getting out of prison and then coming face to face with kids I hadn't seen in 12 years and didn't know. So there were other battles, all sorts of battles that I never even imagined on the inside that I would encounter out there. And Jesus faithfully walked me through them all, but I didn't make the right choices in all of them. You know, I have my youngest son right now, he's in prison, you know, and that breaks my heart. But one thing I told Leland earlier, I know how God can use that. I know how he did that in my own life. It brought me to the end of myself where I needed someone to do in me what I haven't been able to do in myself ever. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He can come in and he can totally transform your heart, totally knock down the walls that for some crazy reason I built up to protect myself from stuff. In 2011, it was October the 1st, I had a really good job. I was a district manager for an energy service company. And my son was out front. At that time, he's probably 22, 23. My older son was in the back. And I just kind of noticed out of the corner of my eye, my son walked over across the street and he was fighting this guy. So I went over there and I broke up the fight, and another guy drove up and shot me twice. He shot my son 5 times with a .45. My son's alive. He didn't die. He just got shot all in the arm. I got shot through the stomach and shot in the back. And then how I fell, the guy that shot me ran over me in a truck. So, I mean, I didn't feel anything, thank God. But I remember being in the helicopter and knowing that I was dying. And I mean, I knew it. I just knew that this was probably going to, you know, this was not good. The only thing that I could think of in that helicopter to say to God was the Lord, you know, if it requires anything else of me other than the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm gone. I mean, I just totally had to, it's either true or it isn't true. Lord, I believe. You know, I thought I was going to die. I didn't die. And for 2 years of rehab, a really dark time in my life, because I didn't want to roll around like this the rest of my life. I didn't want to go back up into prison and visit friends in a chair. I hadn't envisioned it like that. It wasn't supposed to be like that. And I almost checked out. I almost, you know, did the coward's way and offed myself because I didn't want to be like this. And here we go through this other hard thing in my life where God did something in me that I couldn't do in myself. This has become a blessing. All things in my life are filtered through God's love. And they are ultimately good for me. They really have been. It took me a long time to get my self-confidence, self-esteem, go back to work. I just got approved about a year and a half ago. I was just approved to go back into prison after being out 11 years. To go in and talk to guys. Not really. I mean, it's a part of a class and Kairos and all that, but just to share with those guys, I tell you what, I feel more comfortable, and I've got a good church, they're cool, but I feel more comfortable in prison with people that I mean, we realize one thing, we make bad choices and we need help, you know, so we got that in common right there. And I didn't envision rolling back into prison to share with those guys. I envisioned walking. But God has taken me more places in this chair than I ever went with legs. You know, I went to El Salvador last summer and was able to be a part of some ministry with kids and gang members and stuff like that. That's just kind of where my heart is. And God got me there despite circumstances that look like they end it all. And you know what? I think he does that because he likes to be glorified. It, I mean, I'm just a dude in a chair, man. And he gets me to El Salvador just to love on those people. And that's what those guys, you know, people did when I was in prison. The number one thing that I felt, that I sensed when I had my encounter with Jesus Christ was this love and acceptance. I didn't have to clean myself up. You know, he's the one that started this. I didn't start it. If I can mess it up, then why would he start it with me? That don't make no sense. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. It's over. I just receive it. I still, like I said, you guys, I still, you know, God's moved me into good positions. And I still make bad choices. But you know what, man, of all the choices I've made in my life, and I've made a lot of them, I thank God that I got the most important one right. And that's what it boils down to. So God bless you all, and be encouraged, and God is good. He's a good, good Father, man. Bless you all.
Could you bow your head for a moment? Everybody, heads bowed, nobody looking around. You know, Ronnie said he got to the place that he just surrendered. We might call it just giving up. We keep fighting it. And all Jesus Christ asks us is just let Him handle it. Just turn it over to Him. Are you ready to do that? There's some of you here tonight. You fought this and fought it. You've been kicked around and you've kicked around. You say, Leland, I know where Ronnie's coming from, because I'm there. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? I see your hand. God bless you. Yes, I see yours. Yours all over the building. Yes, God bless you. In a moment, Brother Charles is going to begin to sing just as I am. Before he does, I'm going to pray. And while I'm praying, would you say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord in my life. I can't handle it anymore. I keep messing it up. I turn it over to you tonight as best I know how. I turn it over to you. And then I want you to come and make it public. Would you stand to your feet as I pray? Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Our Father, we pray tonight for those here that know exactly where Ronnie came from. For those here that life has been nothing but a turmoil. Father, would you help them? Would your Holy Spirit just give them the guts and the courage to say, Lord Jesus, I turn it over to you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. As Brother Charles sings, would you come on this very first verse and say, I turn it over to Jesus. Come right on. Just as I am, without one plea. Come right on. Come on. You know what God wants you to do. You know what? Come on, right now. Come on. Yes, I am. Come right on. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. You say, Leland, I don't have anything to offer. You don't. But Jesus has got a whole lot to offer you. Come on. Just as though you are, would you turn it over to Jesus tonight? Come right on.
With many conflicts, many doubts, fightings and fears. With
His name is wonderful, Jesus.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.